Amen. How many of y'all know a scoffer? Amen. Most of us know of someone that is a scoffer. 2 Peter. And we had a memory verse for you guys in 2 Peter, but we're going to read all the verses down here. I did. I gave you 2 Peter 3:11, but we're going to read 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse number 1. Read all those verses down there. 2 Peter chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, should be one there in front of you. Second Peter. Everybody got 2 Peter? All right, we're in chapter 3.
Amen.
I'm going to read several of the verses. I'm going to ask you to join in here just a little bit. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both, which I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance, that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. By the way, this willingly ignorant of, that just means they're dumb on purpose.
Yeah.
It's just so you know that, amen. Because ignorant means without knowledge, and if they're willingly without knowledge, they're dumb on purpose, amen. This they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And read with me verses 9, 10, 11. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now notice verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So in other words, he says, looking at what is going to happen, what should our manner of life be like? Father, bless now these next moments that we have. Help us, Lord. There are scoffers. There are mockers. They're out there and they will mock us. They'll ridicule us. They'll talk about us. They'll talk about our God. They'll talk about our Bible. They'll talk about our stand. But Lord, we know the end of the story. Help us not to fret, but Lord, to stand our ground, to have faith in the word of God, and Lord, the promise of your coming. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Now bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. A victory over scoffers. Amen. In your book, that's going to be on page 41. Where we started at, and we didn't get into anything yet. We just kind of gave an introduction last week, but they're going to be scoffers. We talked about how in the Bible there's always been scoffers. Noah had them, Lot had them, Moses had them, Jesus had them. Peter is talking about them, and by the way, you and I are going to have them as well. They may be in your own family. They may be brothers or sisters. They may be aunts and uncles. They may be relatives of some sort. They may be friends. They may be co-workers. But we're going to have scoffers. Amen. Anytime you say anything about your God, the scoffers are going to speak up if they have any type of voice available. And so if we're going to have scoffers, we need to know what to do when we have them. Last week, we gave a definition of scoffers, and it is this. It is to deride someone, to mock someone, show contempt towards someone, or to scorn someone. And we gave the definitions of those. Basically, what they're going to do is try to belittle your faith, belittle your God, belittle your Bible, belittle your Christianity. And they want to ridicule it in such a way with others poke fun at it. And that way others will say, ah, you don't believe that, do you? Amen. Amen. Tell you, I told this story before. I'll tell it again. I was over in Belgium stationed at NATO, and I worked around a lot of internationals. And I had been witnessing to one of my Dutch colleagues, and his name was Rob. And he wasn't saved. And I had on my desk the plant, the Romans roll, the plan of salvation. And I kept it on my desk, and I had been witnessing to him. And one day we really got into it, and you know, he started asking some questions. And I said, well, you know, you just need to be saved.
Amen.
And everybody that came into the office, he picked up my little Romans roll. And when they came in, he, you don't believe this stuff, do you? And he started going down the Romans roll. That all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. You don't believe that, do you? You don't believe that the wages of sin is death, do you? I mean, he just went down there. You don't believe that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And he just read right down. And I just sat back and said, amen. I mean, he went right down. Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8. And he just started reading. You don't believe this stuff. Then he read the prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I believe that I'm a sinner. And I believe Jesus died for me. And I want him to come in tomorrow. And just mocking.
Oh, amen.
But guess what he was doing at the same time?
Preaching, Pastor. He was preaching.
Gave the gospel. Everybody came to my office.
Amen. That's good.
And I just said, amen, Lord.
Amen, Lord Jesus.
I said, he's trying to mock me. He's trying to ridicule me and belittle me and make me feel cheap. And he didn't know. I was just sitting back there like this, smiling. And when he would say, you don't believe this, do you? What he believes, and people would look at me and I'd just go like this. Good stuff.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
You know, and he's just steady going on mocking. You know, but he just kept reading the same thing to everybody that came through.
Wow. Praise the Lord
for that. And I wonder how much conviction is on those people now that heard that. Because guess what? The gospel does bring conviction.
That's right. It does.
And so he thought that he was mocking me and ridiculing me. And did I feel bad? At first, I did kind of feel bad. I thought, I mean, he's trying to mock me. Then I thought, but he's giving the gospel out.
Amen.
You know, Paul said, look, some of these guys do it for this reason. Some do it for this reason. He said, as long as Christ is preached, yeah, I don't care. And so I thought, well, amen, I'm in good company. Paul said the same thing. And so, you know, they're going to be that way, and that's what they're going to do. So they're going to be mockers, and they're going to scoff. They're going to show contempt towards what you believe, and they're going to be out there. And by the way, I said this last week, and I'll say it again. Some of the biggest scoffers and mockers are some of those that are heaviest under conviction.
Mm-hmm.
They're under the heaviest conviction.
Right.
And they're trying to get that weight off of them. Mm-hmm. And so they'll try to belittle it so that its conviction doesn't feel so bad.
Amen.
And guess what? It's still going to feel bad.
Yes, sir, it is.
And the harder they fight, the harder it gets.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Talk to the Apostle Paul. Amen. And so those are often the heaviest ones under conviction. And we talked about, because of the scoffers, notice verse number 11. Seeing then that all these things should be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? Mm-hmm. And all holy conversation and godliness. That was the memory verse that I gave to you last time. That because of those people, we have to make sure that our life is right.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make sure that we're living right, we're standing right, we're doing right. So that their scoffing and their mocking won't have any credibility when it comes to our life. And by the way, there are a lot of Christians out there. They'll say, see, there's your Christian. Don't let it be said about us.
Hey.
See, there's your Christian. Look at what they're doing in the name of Jesus. Look at what they're doing in the name of God. Look at what they're doing. You know why we say that? Because we say the same thing about the Islamics.
Yes, we do, Pastor.
Look what they're doing in the name of God.
Mm-hmm.
They're killing people. We say the same thing. And so when we don't walk right, we don't live right, guess what? They say, there's a Christian. There's a Christian. And so we've got to make sure that we live in a way that's going to please God. Seeing then all these things should be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all manner of in all holy conversation and godliness. Amen. So we begin talking about that. And I gave you the brief overview. It says this: in America today, we see scoffers attacking the underlying principles of our Christian faith. Scoffers intentionally endeavor to turn truth into ridicule. Their purpose is to depreciate the value of truth in the eyes of society.
Yep.
Amen. And by the way, if they can depreciate the truth of the Bible, then that gives the LGBT crowd a whole lot more leverage. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, it gives them a whole lot more. If this is not true, then I can do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if this is true, I can't do what I want to do.
That's right, Pastor.
Amen.
Amen.
And so they come in mockery. And their spirit and temperament indicate no desire to find the truth. They take up Bible with the design of finding things to ridicule and discredit. How many of you ever heard the people say, I read through the Bible many times. I read through the Bible, you know, hundreds of times.
I haven't heard that.
And what you should ask them is, how many times has the Bible read through you?
Amen.
There's a difference.
Right.
The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. He can't understand this book. You can read through it 1,000. You can read through it 1,000,000 times.
Yes, sir.
But you're not going to understand this book without the Spirit of God.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes.
And so they may read through this book, but is the book really reading through them? Mm, amen. That makes a difference.
That's good.
You know, by the way, this is not a textbook. This is not a novel.
No.
This is not a short story.
Uh-uh.
And people want to treat it that way. Well, you know, it's this and it's that. No, this is God's word. This is God's word. Amen. So these folks come in mockery. Amen. They want to find something to ridicule and discredit you for or the Bible. Amen. And the lesson theme is this. It says, as our faith grows, our confidence in God and his word can overcome anything that scoffers and critics say against us.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
As our faith grows, our confidence in God and his word can overcome anything. By the way, the Bible says we're more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Yep.
Our faith is what matters. Go to Romans 10:17. By the way, the more we know of God and the more we know God, the more we'll trust God.
Yep.
Romans 10:17. And Romans 10:17. Go ahead and read that for me, Jesse.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
So if my faith is going to grow, then that means I've got to get in God's word. It says faith comes by hearing.
Yep.
And that hearing is going to be the word of God.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
By the way, a child learns his parents' will by listening to his parents' will.
Right.
A child doesn't listen to their parents' will is not going to know their parents' will.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen, Pastor.
So the more we listen to the voice of God through the word of God, the more we know how to please God. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Yeah.
Hebrews 11, let's go over there real quick. So as our faith grows, our confidence in God and his word can overcome anything that scoffers and critics say against us. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Who's got that? Can read that for me. Hebrews 11, 1. Brother Duffy.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Amen. So faith is believing
right.
that something is without seeing that it is. Amen. Amen.
That's good, Pastor.
Believing that something is without seeing that it is. Amen. How many of y'all believe that if you run a stop sign, uh-huh. you can get a ticket?
Oh, yeah.
Even though you can't see the ticket.
Precisely, Pastor. Precisely.
Amen. That's why we stop.
Yep.
How many of y'all believe that if you don't stop at a stoplight, you'll get a ticket, even though you can't see the ticket?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's faith. You believe. If not, you just run it. I've been over in Turkey, and they don't believe it. I've been to Italy. They don't believe it either. They run those things, and the cops even run them. Everybody runs them. I thought, I'm going to get killed in this country. I had a car over there, and I thought, this is dangerous. Nobody obeys the stop signs. They didn't obey the stoplights. And I thought, this is hazardous to my health. Amen. I drove anyway because I was in Italy. I had to get my pizza.
Amen.
Italy's known for pizza, so I had to get my pizza. Amen. So I did drive. Amen. Notice verse 6. But without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. So if I don't have faith, I can't please God. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So I've got to have the word of God so that I can hear about God so I can please God. And if I don't have this, I can't please God. Now, notice what it is. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Yep.
By the way, what's the reward for running the stop sign or the stop light? A ticket. It's a bad reward, but it's still a reward. It's what you get. Amen. And so when we please God, he rewards us as well. Amen. He has gifts that he gives us and he has things that he gives us. Amen. One is eternal life. Praise God.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't cost you anything.
No, it doesn't.
Cost Christ everything, though.
Yep.
So when you're dealing with these scoffers, the main theme of what we're going to be studying in this lesson is as our faith grows, our confidence in God can grow as well, and in God's word can grow as well. Amen. And we can overcome anything that the scoffers want to throw us. By the way, might we have to go through some tough times?
Yes, we will, Pastor.
Yes.
We will.
By the way, faith that can't be that is not tested can't be trusted.
That's right.
Was Abraham tested?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he was. Go to a land that I will show you. Mm-hmm. That was a test. And what happened? His faith showed up. Faith that's not tested can't be trusted. You better trust it. By the way, that's why life is here, to test us, to see where we stand. What did Jesus say to Peter? Peter, you're going to deny me three times. What did Peter say? No, I won't. What was that? That was his test.
Yes, it was.
Did he deny the Lord? Yes, he did.
Yes.
What happened? His faith was tested. Sometimes God allows scoffers and mockers to test us to see where we stand. Will we keep our mouths open or we close them? Amen.
Amen, Pastor.
Sometimes scoffers can make you want to close your mouth. Amen.
Yes, sir.
So one of the things about this is that our faith has got to grow, and our confidence then can grow in God and his word. We can overcome these scoffers and these critics. Why? Because we believe God's word.
Mm-hmm.
We believe God's word. Amen. It's got some goals here. It says the goals of this lesson is to understand the motives of scoffers and critics. Now, interesting thing. Why do scoffers scoff? Why do mockers mock? Why do they? That's something that we really need to kind of understand, because they're saying what they're saying for a reason. Swanee?
Well, they are fighting proof for one thing.
Yep.
And when they mock it, it's because it has had an effect on them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I found every scoffer that's, you know, really puts up a battle is one that is fighting the truth that is presented to them.
Amen.
They can't handle the truth.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes that is the case. They can't handle the truth.
Yes, sir.
Now, have you ever been a scoffer or a mocker at the things of God? Then why did you scoff? Why did you mock? Again, I did. Say, preacher, why did you? I was raised in church.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard what the Bible said, and I didn't want that on my life. So if I could discredit it, if I could belittle it, if I could put it down, then it maybe it doesn't not going to affect me as much. It's not going to be a burden on me. And as Swanti said, the more I fought truth, you can't fight truth because truth is still truth.
That's right, Pastor.
It beat me up.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my coworker witnessing to me one time, Jesse. And he was always after me. Dawson, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. And I just had enough of it one day. And he said, Dawson, you need to get saved. I said, you just need to leave me alone.
Oh, wow.
Get off my
wow.
back. Why? There was truth to what he was saying.
Yes, sir.
And I knew there was some truth to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a scoffer at it. Now, I wasn't one of those belligerent scoffers and mockers where I said, I don't believe God. I just didn't want to believe that this book was his book. And what do the scoffers and mockers say about God's word oftentimes? What is the most famous thing that they say about God's word?
Not true.
Why is it not true? There we go. That was my argument. It's written by man.
There you go, Brother Jesse. Amen.
If God is God, don't you think God can preserve his word for man?
Yep.
Does he preserve his world? Yes.
Yes, sir, he does.
Does he preserve his son up in the sky? Yes.
Yes.
And guess what? God can preserve his word. If he said, let there be light, and there's still light, guess what? God can preserve his word.
Yes, sir, he can.
So my argument was that he can't preserve his word. Men have messed it up. There's errors in the Bible and this, that, and the other. And you ask folks to find me an error, find me a contradiction, and they can't. Now, by the way, most quote-unquote errors or contradictions that they find, they get things that are out of context. They kind of, well, God in the Old Testament was mean and he killed people. And then Jesus came and he was the God of love. That's a contradiction. They don't understand the dispensations of what God was going through and what was happening. They don't have a clue.
Amen.
And so they'll scoff and mock and they want to discredit the Bible. So the goals are to understand the motives of scoffers and critics. Why do they do what they do? What is some other reason why scoffers say what they say? Why do they say what they say? Anybody?
Have workers for Satan.
Have workers for Satan. Yeah, that's true as well. Amen.
Right.
Anything else? Yes, Wani?
Some don't understand it.
Amen. Some have been hurt by church. Yes, Beth.
They don't want to be held accountable to God's word.
Don't want to be held accountable to God's word. But some have been hurt. Yes, Jesse.
In some cases, others were raised in a culture that was completely foreign to it. So when they see it, it sounds ridiculous because they haven't heard it before.
Amen. Raised in a culture where they're foreign to it, Linda. Amen. And by the way, some people have legitimately in their hearts feel that God did them wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Let their mother die. Let their father die. Let their baby die. Let their neighbor's kid die or something. And so they turn their backs on God and begin to mock him because that couldn't be the God that I have grown to know. That couldn't be that God. And so they begin to mock because of those. So we have to understand why the mocker is mocking and why the scoffer is scoffing. Now, this guy that I had, my colleague Rob over there in Belgium, come to find out, he was really under strong conviction. And he did not want any parts in that. I had another Dutch colleague as well that he was under the same type of conviction. And he fought as long as he could. And he finally got saved.
Amen.
So we really have to understand why are they that way. For every mocker, for every scoffer, there is a story behind why he does what he does.
Right.
Or why she does what she does.
Right.
Whether it's been hurt, whether it's been authority or whatever. Maybe authority figures in their life have been mean to them and God is an authority figure. And so they don't want to face that. And so it's to understand what the what's behind the motives, but then recognize the basis for believing the reliability of Scripture. We need to believe this book and understand this book and believe this book and recognize that God, the God that we serve, is long suffering.
Yes, sir, he is.
By the way, if God wanted to, he could come and just wipe us all out.
Yes, sir, he can.
But he didn't. Think about the timetable. He made man, and there was a while before the flood came. But the flood did come as the scoffers in here are mocking, saying, hey, where's the flood? But then after the flood, there was a time before Moses came.
Mm-hmm.
Then after Moses, there was a time before they got out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was a time before they got into the promised land. Then there was a time before they got dispersed and came back to the land. Then there was a time before Jesus came.
Yep.
All that took time. It didn't just happen. And then there's a time when Jesus was crucified. And then there's a time when he's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? That's the time we're at right now.
Looking forward to it. Amen.
That's the time we're at right now. So everything took time and they don't understand that God is long suffering.
Right.
And he wants everybody to get saved before he comes back. And so let me give you some things here by way of point number one. That way you can fill this into your book. Roman number one is victory through God's promise. We're not going to get through all this today, but I want to give you the points so you can have those down. Roman number one, victory through God's promises. Victory through God's promises. Then A, the words of the prophets. The words of the prophets. Then B, the words of the apostles. The words of the apostles. Then see the words of the Lord. Words of the Lord. So that's the outline for Roman numeral one. Victory through God's promises. That's how we're going to get the victory over the scoffers. A, words of the prophets. We have that. Then B, we have the words of the apostles. And then C, we have the words of the Lord. Amen. So victory over scoffers. And that's what we're going to talk about. By the way, I read you the introduction here. It says, every year since 1886, our nation has taken one day at the end of May to remember those who have paid the price for our freedom. Who knows what that day is called? Memorial Day. Originally, it was called Decoration Day, when flowers and flags would be placed at the graves of soldiers who had died for our nation. It is now known as Memorial Day. It's a day for us to stop and look back at our heroes who gave their lives so that we could enjoy the blessings of liberty. Throughout our nation's history, we have been blessed with men and women who have been willing to pay the price of freedom. We have one right now, Ms. Shireen. She's in the military right now. Others have served before. Amen. I know I've served. Brother Serge has served. Brother Swante served. Were you in the Army? Air Force?
Army.
Amen. And anybody else in here serve military? Tasha? Tasha. Tamara? Jesse has served before as well. Amen. Now, knowing all the great men that have fought for our nation, all the great women that have fought for our nation, all the families that sacrificed to send them over, have there been scoffers down through the ages that have scoffed against our nation's battles? Not everybody agrees with every battle that we are involved in. Not every service member agrees with every battle that we're in.
Yeah.
But guess what? We still support our leadership.
Amen.
And we still go where we go. It says this, in contrast to heroes of the past, there are also scoffers, critics who rise up and speak out against efforts made on behalf of freedom. By the way, when a scoffing is made against our nation's military, who normally gets the brunt of that scoffing? When scoffers want to scoff against our military skirmishes, who normally gets the brunt of that scoffing? Serge? The president, he does get a lot of it, but who normally bears the upfront personal in your face? The young soldiers. The picketers are out there at the gate. The president's sitting in the White House. The pictures are at the gate. The soldiers come out the gate. They will hold this sign up in your face. They want to talk about you.
Right.
And you're supporting this. And you're supporting this. And you're doing this. So much so that Jehovah's Witnesses don't even let their people get into the military at all.
Amen, Pastor.
And so, you know, they have this agenda where it's your fault. Because if you as a service member wouldn't go over there, we wouldn't have this problem. Well, you don't understand. I'm under orders. And if I don't go over there, I'm going to jail.
That's right.
Now, if you want to go to jail for me, amen. But I'm not going to jail because I'm under military orders. And so the scoffing normally is aimed and attacked, yes, at the president for what he is doing. But we, as the service members, bear that brunt. And let's just change the gears a little bit. The scoffing is against God, but who bears the brunt of that most times? Christians.
Christians does.
Yeah, I'm going to scoff God's word. I'm going to scoff and mock at God and all these things. But I can't see God, but I can see you, Linda. I can't see God, but I can see you, Shane. And so I can't mock at God, but I can mock at God's people. I can scoff at God's people, so I can get you, Carl. I can see you. And then Carl said, well, get my God. I can't see him, but I can see you.
Oh, yeah, Pastor. Oh, yes.
And that's what they try to do. And if they can get enough of God's people to cower and run, guess what? They won because our voice is silent and the world's voice is loud.
Amen.
And that's their goal, is to do that. A lot of these guys against the military, that's what they try to do. They're trying to degrade and devalue sacrifices made and those that are willing to risk their lives for a great cause, or maybe not such a great cause, because not every cause that America has fought has been a noble cause, but yet and still we're still defenders of this nation and our liberties. And so
Amen.
The existence of scoffers is nothing new. Peter talked about those as well. Amen. Let me read this. Scoffers intentionally endeavor to turn truth into ridicule. Bitterness will always need a target.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say you've got to know why the scoffer is scoffing.
Yes.
Sometimes he's just bitter, or she's bitter. I'm bitter at what God did. I'm bitter at what God didn't do. I'm bitter at how this happened. I'm bitter at that. And so I'm mad at God, so I'll take it out on God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Bitterness has always got to have a target.
That's right, he does.
As children of God, we can overcome those who scoff against God and and his word and our beliefs by having the word of God. Amen. And so that's good. Here's a quote. Someone said the only way to avoid criticism is to do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. By the way, this book says much, does much, and is much.
It sure does, Pastor. It sure does.
But if I say nothing and do nothing, guess what? Amen. Yes, Lila. Amen. Amen. By the way, I've got a Bible in my office, and inside the Bible says the same thing. It says, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from that. This book. Now, the Bible doesn't belong to me. It belongs to someone else. So what can I surmise about the individual that it belongs to? If this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book, what's going on with the individual? You think if my Bible, if his Bible is in my office? It's a great possibility, and I happen to know the individual, and it's not a good... It's not, that's true. That's give them the benefit of the doubt. They might have a good new Bible. Amen. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Amen. But that's true. The Bible will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from vice versa. Amen. So Peter's writing to remind us. Okay, so let's talk about this. For victory through God's promises. Going back to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, just for a moment here. We'll talk about a few things here. Victory through God's promises. 2 Peter chapter 3. And just for a moment, consider a thought. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 2. Yeah. And notice verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So Peter is saying, you know what? We can have victory through God's promise if we remember what the promise is.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right, Pastor.
By the way, can you have victory in a promise that you forgot? No. How can you have victory in that which you forgot? You don't even know you have it. But I can have victory in a promise that I remember. Mm-hmm. By the way, the one victory that I know I have that I don't care if I do forget it, I have it. That's eternal life.
Yeah, amen.
Why? I'm kept by the power of God. I don't keep myself. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so I can forget all day long that I'm saved. I pray that I never will, but I don't have to worry about that. Why? Because I'm kept by the power of God, according to the Bible. Amen. And so the promise needs to be in our remembrance of what God has done. And in this actual passage of scripture here, Peter's bringing their attention to the scriptures that he is writing and also that had been written before and the things that the apostles and the Lord had said. Notice verse 3. Knowing this first, that be there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust. Mm-hmm. And in our day, there's going to be scoffers as well. Amen. By the way, if you say nothing and if you do nothing, nobody has an accusation against you. But if you start doing something, folks have accusations against you. Amen. Amen. And the Bible is a do book. Amen. By the way, how much of God's word is inspired? All of it, amen. God did not inspire the thoughts, the moods, and the feelings of the authors of scriptures. He inspired the very words, amen. By the way, when the skeptics and the scoffers go out to mock, what is one of the first things that they want to mock at? The Bible.
The Bible, of course.
What happened in Genesis? What was the very first thing that came out accusatorily speaking?
Yea, hath God said.
From the beginning, Satan attacked God's word. From the beginning, yea, hath God said. And so, would you think it'd be any different today? Because if I can attack the authority of what God said, then the rest of it is a moot point. If it's not really important, if it's not really going to happen, then guess what? I've won. And so the first attacks went against the Bible. It says here, when the critics come, their first assault is often against the word of God. Satan knows that if he can make us doubt what God has said, he is well on his way to defeating us. The first temptation in the Garden of Eden began with a question, with questioning what God had said. By the way, you and I will either have victory by what God said,
right,
or we will have defeat by what God said.
That's right, Pastor.
It's only two. I'm either going to have victory because of what God said, or I'm going to have defeat because of what God said, because right. God is not going to be defeated.
No, he's not.
His word is not going to be defeated. So I'm either going to have victory by his promise, or I'm going to get defeated because his word is not going to be defeated. So if I'm on God's side, guess what? I'm on the winning side.
Amen.
If I'm not on God's side, I'm on the losing side. Eve found out quickly that she was on the losing side.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because God said it. That settled it.
Yeah.
And she haggled with Satan. Amen. And there's my warning that we got 5 minutes left. Amen. And so when critics question the validity of the Bible, you and I have got to stand firm on this is what God said. Go to 1 Kings with me real quick. 1 Kings chapter 8. First Kings chapter 8, because we're either going to taste defeat or victory based upon what God said. First Kings chapter 8 and verse number 56. Let me get somebody to read that. First Kings 8, verse 56. Who's there? Can read verse 56. Swanty, go ahead.
Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel. According to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant.
Amen. So Solomon is praying here. He said, look. Everything that God said, he made good. He did it.
Amen.
And by the way, everything that God said, is it going to come to pass sooner or later?
Oh, yeah.
Every last word. From the flood down to Moses, down through Exodus, down to the birth of Christ, down to the return of Christ. It's all going to come. It is. Amen. By the way, do we understand it all? No, we don't have to understand it all. Amen. Did everybody understand everything about heaven?
No.
The one thing I know about heaven is I'm going there.
Amen.
The one thing I know about heaven is that saved folks are going to be there. But I don't know everything there is about it. I don't know what I'm going to be doing. I know certain things that the Bible says. But I don't know everything. I know there's a street of gold there. I know there's a tree of life there. But I don't really understand everything about heaven. And guess what? I'm going to be there forever.
Amen.
And I don't even know everything about it. You know what? I don't need to.
I know I won't be in pain.
Amen.
Amen.
So praise God.
No,
so one of the things that we do know is everything that God promises is going to come true. And so you and I can be on the winning side. Amen. We can be on the side of God. Amen. Or we can be on the side of defeat because his word is going to come true. Amen. So we're going to stop there. I need to give you guys a memory verse for this week. Amen. And so I'm going to give you. Not that one. That one's too long. Let me give you 1 Corinthians 2:14. That's a very, very good one. That just says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They're foolishness unto him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. I want us to meditate on that next week because most of the scoffers and the mockers that you're going to come against are mocking and scoffing because they don't know God.
Right, right.
1 Corinthians 2:14 is going to be your memory verse for next week.
I'm
going to meditate on that, and then we'll go more into A, B, and C. But we can have victory through God's promises, just like Solomon said right there, because God promised, and it came true.
Yep.
So your memory verse is 1 Corinthians
2:14.
All right, everybody got that? 1 Corinthians 2:14. Amen. All right, your children are already in the snack area, so you'll meet them, and they do have a patch performance.
Amen.
And so we'll get ready for them as well. So let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you once again for giving us the promise. And we can have victory through the promises of God. Or we can have defeat. God, we want victory. Help us to trust in what you said and then stand on it. Lord, if you said it, that settles it. Men are always going to attack against the authority of the word of God. But help us to stand for it. And Lord, help us to live it and to love it. And Lord, help us to recognize there is a story behind every mocker. There's a heart behind every scoffer. There's a feeling and a mood behind every person that speaks against the things of God. Help them, Lord, and help us to be a witness to them. Help us to realize what a manner of persons we ought to be so that we can win them to Christ. Thank you for loving us. Bless now the refreshments in Jesus' name. Amen.